The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, this season of parody just continues. I mean, the Atlanta Falcons had zero to play for last night, but yet they took it to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night in Thursday Night Football. I mean, if the Falcons have officially been kicked out of the playoffs, they are in contention for nothing other than shitting on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers night. And that is exactly what they did. The Falcons got the slim win over the Buccaneers, a walk-off field goal, 29-28. It was a very close game for the most part, and then it looked like the Buccaneers were going to start to pull away with it in the second half. And then all of a sudden, the Falcons just got this second wind and just started scoring. And then, you know, the Buccaneers get the ball back. Looks like, all right, cool, we're just going to drive down the field, take some clock off, and then either kick a field goal or score a touchdown to just get some more points and then walk off and get this win. Well, unfortunately, Baker Mayfield threw this terrible interception, and the Falcons pick it off, and not only are they able to drive down the field, because at this point, they're only down by 2 points, so if they get the field goal, they are going to walk off and win. And they actually had the Falcons backed up, but then just a couple of bonehead penalties led to them getting all this yardage, and then some big plays got them some yardage, and the Falcons were able to get in field goal range and walk away with this win. Kirk Cousins, nice night, 30 for 44, 373 yards and 3 touchdowns. Kyle Pitts, we have a Kyle Pitts sighting, people. And, you know, I mean, he was the fourth overall pick a few years ago. We've been waiting for this dude to finally have a good year. And here he is, finally having a good game. Probably going to be the only game we ever hear his name again. But he had 166 yards and 3 touchdowns on the night. And big win for Atlanta. And they were really happy to kick the shit out of their division rivals. Because now this makes things very interesting in the NFC South. Because now the Carolina Panthers are in the driver's seat for this division. Now, the Buccaneers and the Panthers do face off against each other 2 more times to round out this season. So they play each other the final week of the season. This division could come down to that final game of the season. How crazy is that? Who would have thunk? I didn't think. But anyways, what a crazy game. And what a crazy season. This football season, it's the last month of the season. Last month of the regular season. And here we are with a team that has no shot at shit. Another team with everything on the line. And the team with no shot at shit came into their house and shit all over their night. And that's what football is all about. So let's get into the rest of week 15. And also my head-to-head matchup with the homie Simon Ruvalcaba. Last week, I went 7-7 to bring my season total up to 134 wins and 73 losses. He went 8-6 last week, so that brought his season total up to 133 wins and 74 losses. So he is only one game behind me. We both start the weekend off at 0-1 because we both had Tampa Bay winning last night. And Simon, though, is very happy with that because he's a Carolina Panthers fan, so he does not give a shit whether he was wrong with that pick or not. As a matter of fact, he even said, I hope I'm wrong with this pick because he wants his Panthers in the playoffs. And right now, they are in the driver's seat. So he's pretty stoked on that. Actually, both of us are pretty stoked on our teams because, you know, the Cowboys are still in it. And like I said, the parity in this season gives the both of us hope, even though it looked like we didn't have a lot of hope with our teams at certain points in this season. But we both have playoff hope. So let's get into the rest of Week 15 matchups. Beginning with the Cleveland Browns at the Chicago Bears. Right now, the Bears are a 7.5-point favorite. The Bears are coming off of that tough loss last week against the Packers. The Browns, you know, their defense has been playing great. Now that they've basically said that Shedeur Sanders is going to be the starter the rest of the season, we don't have to hear about that controversy anymore for the rest of the season, at least. until next year. And quite fucking frankly, if your choices are between Deshaun Watson and Shedeur Sanders, please go with Shedeur Sanders. For Christ's sake, can we just get rid of Deshaun Watson? That guy's a piece of shit. Not only as a human, but just what the fuck has he done in this league? He's been such a waste of space and so unmemorable and so dumb. And I just, the Browns should just release his dumb ass and just go with Shedeur. Because if anything, at least you have a nice, clean slate with Shedeur. With Deshaun, it's, who cares? But anyways, I mean, we're talking about next year, but that's just my thoughts and feelings and opinions on that matter. But anyways, let's get back to the game this week. I just feel like the Browns, they're walking into a buzzsaw. You know, the Bears, they are a really solid team. They are showing growth each and every week, and I just kind of feel like they're pissed off from their loss last week. The Browns are not a very good team, so I just kind of feel like Chicago's going to come right out, dominate this game, and I've got the Bears winning this one 28-17. Then we have the Baltimore Ravens at the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now, the Ravens are a 2.5-point favorite, but this is a division matchup, and the Ravens have not been consistent in any way, shape, and form this year. The Bengals don't have a lot to play for, but with that being said, Joe Burrow takes his job extremely seriously, and while his team's got a very outside shot at the playoffs, I feel like this team still wants to win and really would be happy to take a shit on Baltimore's day. And this has always been a difficult matchup for both Baltimore and Cincinnati. And I just kind of feel like Cincinnati's pissed off. Cincinnati, I feel like, just really wants to shit all over Baltimore's day. Now, with that being said, I think this is going to be a battle between Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. I feel like this is going to be a back and forth affair between the two of them. I feel like I would not be shocked if we see a scoring on just about every drive in this one. But I feel like the Bengals are going to come out, and I think they're just going to be happy to shit on the Ravens' day, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I have the Bengals winning a close one, 31-28. Then we have the Los Angeles Chargers at the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, the Chiefs are a 4.5-point favorite. The Chiefs, they need the win. They are having a terrible season. They just look bad on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, look very solid. But offensively, there is nothing clicking at all. All the crazy plays that they used to have, they aren't even working this year. The special teams is terrible. They just are not a good team at all. Then you look at the Chargers, and they're not a consistent team either, especially on the offensive side of the ball themselves. They have a solid defense themselves, but Justin Herbert's been on his ass all motherfucking season. And last week he was sacked 7 times, so I'm kind of intrigued to see how many times he's going to be on his back this week, because the Kansas City Chiefs defense ain't nothing to fuck with. They are a stout defense who are going to take you out. And so I kind of feel like this is going to be a defensive battle between both teams. I feel like it's going to be a long day for both Mahomes and Herbert. But with that being said, I'm leaning towards the Chiefs because they're at home, because they desperately need the win, and just because I don't really believe in this Chargers team. I feel like the Chargers team, they're better than the Chiefs. But until they prove it, I can't take them. And so I'm going to take the Chiefs in this one. I've got the Chiefs winning a close battle, 21-20. Then we have the Buffalo Bills at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Bills are a 0.5-point favorite. So that just goes to show you how close this game is. Buffalo got whooped when they first faced off against each other. So Buffalo needs to show out in this one. As a matter of fact, Buffalo just has to win this one to even keep pace in the division. I mean, they need help from New England to just keep on losing to even have a chance at this division, but they have to win this one this weekend. And to me, the Bills just have yet to really, other than a couple of wins to start the season, they have not really looked like a legit squad. And so they need this win to not only prove to the rest of the league that they're a Super Bowl contender, but I feel like they just have to do it to even have a shot at the division. And, I mean, do they really want to be it doesn't matter what seed you are when you make the playoffs. If you're in, you're in, and you have a shot. But Buffalo's a team that we all pretty much expected to be the number one overall seed, and do they really want to be number 7? No. They need this win. But New England is one of the hottest teams in the league. Them and Denver, the two obvious hottest teams in the league. And they're no slouches, and they don't give a fuck about Buffalo. They are not scared of Buffalo. As a matter of fact, I'm sure they are just ready to take down Buffalo. With that being said, though, I think it's just one of those things where it's time for New England to lose. You know, I think they're on a 10-game winning streak. It's either 9 or 10 games. Regardless, it's a long-ass winning streak. So it kind of feels like it's time for a loss. Buffalo, like I said, they need this one. And I kind of feel like the desperation with Buffalo is going to win over in this one. And I've got the Bills winning a close one. Don't be shocked if this is like a walk-off field goal or something crazy where the defense, because I do think this is going to be a defensive battle. I think both defenses are going to cause some turnovers and make some big plays. And I think Buffalo is going to do the most in the end. And I've got Buffalo winning a close one, 24-23. Then we had the Washington Commanders at the New York Giants. Right now, the Giants are a 2.5-point favorite. This is the Who Cares Bowl because neither of these teams have any shot at the playoffs. Neither of these teams have anything. So, they both benefit from losing at this point because it just gives them a better draft pick for next year. But, of course, you know, the players, they're going to show out. But with that being said, Daniels is not expected to play for Washington. Like I said a couple weeks ago, before he even played last week, I said don't even bother playing him anymore because every time he has come back this year, he keeps getting injured, and you don't want him to suffer a more debilitating injury that rolls over into next year. Just let him rest it out. And it looks like that's what they're going to do. That's what they should do. They have nothing to play for this year. We all know Daniels is the starting quarterback next year for the Washington Commanders. So why risk any type of fucked up injury? Marcus Mariota is completely capable of carrying this squad the rest of the way because they have nothing to play for other than a draft pick. So they're not playing Daniels this week. The Giants, they are just a garbage can squad. So really, this is going to be garbage on garbage plus a division battle. I know both of these teams want to win, and I just kind of feel like the Giants, they're at home. They could use a win. So I went with the Giants in this one, 26-21. Then we have the Las Vegas Raiders at the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, the Eagles are a 12.5-point favorite, which I think is kind of odd because the Eagles are on a 3-game losing streak. Now, granted, I know the Raiders suck, but the Eagles are not beating people by 12.5 points. You know what I'm saying? And I think the Eagles are going to win this one because the Raiders are terrible. But the Eagles are not, they haven't really looked good all season. Yes, they've got wins under their belt, but they have not played consistent football on the offensive side of the ball at all. Defensively, very stout, very good. And I think their defense is going to show out in this one and be the reason why they win. But I don't think it's going to be another, I think it's going to be another struggle for them on offense because that's been the theme of the season for the Eagles. So the fact that they're favored by 12.5 points is odd. They should be favored by like 2.5 points. Because like I said, while the Raiders suck, and it doesn't look like Geno Smith is going to play this week, so that makes them even worse. I don't anticipate this being a blowout because the Eagles are not that good of a team. So I have the Eagles winning, but I have them winning 20-14. Then we have the New York Jets at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Jaguars are an 11.5-point favorite. The Jets, I believe, are starting their third-string quarterback this week because Tyrod Taylor is injured, so I can't remember the dude's name because who cares? Jets aren't playing for shit anyways, but Jacksonville, they are playing for that division. They want that division, they just got to keep winning. They really want to prove it. You could tell that that's what their attitude is. They know nobody's talking about them. They know nobody gives a shit about them, but all they have to do is keep on winning. Right now, their division is up for grabs. They do have to make sure they watch out for Houston Texans. They still have to watch out for Indianapolis, even though Indianapolis has suffered a ton of injuries at the quarterback position, but you still have to look out for them. They're still on their ass. But with that being said, I feel like Jacksonville is going to absolutely dominate this one offensively, defensively, and really have no issues in this one. I've got the Jaguars winning 30-10. Then we have the Arizona Cardinals at the Houston Texans. Right now, the Texans are a 9.5-point favorite. It looks like Marvin Harrison Jr. is not going to be playing in this one, but I don't think it matters. Arizona is just so bad. They have nothing going on offensively or defensively. Whereas Houston, they have a lot to play for, and their defense is so, so good. But their offense is trash. I feel so bad for CJ Stroud. That offensive line gives him no time. He has no receivers, and that ground attack is mediocre at best. So I don't think this is going to be a 9.5-point win like the spread says. As a matter of fact, I think it's going to be a pretty close game, even though I think Houston's going to dominate it for the most part. But I just think it's going to be their defense taking care of business with their offense just doing enough to get the win. I've got the Houston Texans winning 17-10. Then the afternoon games, we have the Green Bay Packers at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Packers are a 2.5-point favorite, which is kind of crazy because Denver's at home. But I think this is an exceptionally equal matchup. Both of these teams have great defense. But offensively, I think the Packers have a lot more going on than the Broncos do. The Broncos are a very loosey-goosey defense. You never know what's going to happen, or offense. You never know what's going to happen with them on the offensive side of the ball. It's their defense that keeps them in it every single week, and their offense just does enough. Well, I think this week it's not going to work for them. I think the Packers defense is going to take care of business, and I think their offense is going to take advantage of what their defense does by setting them up in good field position or, just helping them out. And I think the Packers are going to take advantage of the few mistakes that the Broncos make, because I don't think this is going to be a runaway either way. I think both of these teams are going to have a really good day. I think it's going to be led by defense, but I think the better offense is Green Bay. The more reliable offense is Green Bay. The more reliable quarterback is on Green Bay. The more reliable receivers are on Green Bay. Josh Jacobs at the running back position is on Green Bay. So I just trust Green Bay more in this position. Also, I feel like Denver is also due for a loss since they are also on a 10-game winning streak like the New England Patriots. So I'm leaning towards Green Bay as well in this one, 28-26, but I think it's going to be a battle. Then we have the Detroit Lions at the Los Angeles Rams. Right now, the Rams are a 4.5-point favorite. This is going to be a great matchup. I feel like I would not be shocked if this is one of those where it's Matthew Stafford versus Jared Goff, where it's just back and forth, offense. But the Rams, I trust them more this season. I think their defense is better. I think their offense is more reliable. And I just think overall they're the more reliable team, even though I definitely think Detroit is going to keep pace with them. I think at the end of the day, the Rams are the better team. The Rams are going to get the better of the Lions. And I've got the Rams winning this one 28-21. Then we have the Carolina Panthers at the New Orleans Saints. Right now the Panthers are a 2.5-point favorite. And the Panthers, if they already knew they needed to win. They were looking at the wild card and their division because they're in contention for both of them. So they already knew they needed this win. But now they really want that win because if they get this win, they maintain a division lead. Plus, next week they will be playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, I mean, if they beat Tampa, if they win this week, beat Tampa next week, then they have a 2-game lead. And so they really need this. And while New Orleans is coming off of a pretty big win over Tampa Bay last week, I don't think that's going to be the case in this one. I feel like Carolina is playing much better football. Their defense is really damn good. And I think their defense is going to be what wins them this game. I wouldn't be shocked if the defense not only has turnovers, but turnovers for points as well. Definitely going to set their offense up in good field position, but don't be shocked if this Carolina defense scores a touchdown or two to get this win. I've got the Carolina Panthers getting a close win over the Saints 20-17. Then we have the Tennessee Titans at the San Francisco 49ers. Right now the Niners are a 12.5-point favorite, and here is finally a game where the favorite is favored by a lot, and I'm like, okay, there we go, because the Titans suck. The Niners are actually in playoff contention. We haven't really been talking about them because they haven't really... They're there, but they haven't done shit. I mean, they really just keep getting injured. It's pretty much their theme of the season, but they've been in the playoffs. They've been in playoff contention from week one, continue to be in playoff contention all the way through, and they're probably going to be in playoff contention all the way until the last week. They're in contention for their division. They're in contention for the wild card spot. It's just we haven't really been talking about the Niners like we normally talk about the Niners, and I just think it's because of all the injuries, and they really don't have a big, flashy win that you could point to. And I just also don't think any of us really believe they're a Super Bowl contender. Definitely a playoff contender, but do any of us really think the Niners are going to win the Super Bowl this year? I doubt it, but hey, with the way this season's gone, anything is fucking possible at this point. But anyways, I think the Niners, this is going to be a game where they finally just shine. They haven't really had a blowout game this season, and if they have, I don't remember it. But I feel like that this is going to be that game. I just kind of feel like Christian McCaffrey's going to be on some. And I feel like he's just going to run this offense. I feel like Purdy's going to have a solid game. I feel like the defense is going to be able to just step it up and really take care of business over this garbage can Tennessee Titans offense. And I've got the San Francisco Niners winning this one easily, 26-7. Then we have the Indianapolis Colts at the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, the Seahawks are a 10.5-point favorite. The Colts did end up signing Phillip Rivers to the practice squad. We don't know if he's going to start this week. It's obviously in motion. It's in the plan for him to potentially start. But it's actually now looking like the backup quarterback. He has actually been practicing this week. So it looks like they're probably going to be leaning towards him. Could be wrong, but at this point, I don't think it really matters. I think the Colts are on the downside of things. As a matter of fact, I kind of feel like the Colts are going to be that team that either just falls and barely makes the playoffs or falls completely out of playoff contention just because, you know, Daniel Jones was a huge part of their success. You know, I was pointing to Jonathan Taylor as the MVP because I felt like his success is what dictated whether they won or lost. And it obviously still does. I mean, they're 3-game losing streak right now. He has not had a good game in those 3 games. And that's so that just goes to show you what correlation happens when he's not having a good game, they lose. When he's having a great game, they win. But now that the quarterback situation is what it is, I don't care. You know, Phillip Rivers hasn't played in 5 years. So I don't really expect him to come out and have that great of a game. I mean, you know, Joe Flacco, he came back, you know, he's been doing his thing, but he also didn't really step away from football for that long. He was gone for like, I think a couple of months, whereas Phillip Rivers literally hasn't played in 5 years and the game has changed in 5 years. Like, I mean, rules have changed. The people you're playing with have completely changed. I mean, it's a completely different league at this point in time. And I just don't think Phillip Rivers is going to come in and waltz in and make them be a playoff contender. And especially against the Seattle Seahawks team, they are already a hungry, ferocious defense. So I kind of expect them to be a hungry, ferocious defense in this one. And whoever is that quarterback, I think is going to have a rough day. And I think the Seattle defense is going to take care of business. The offense is going to do just enough to get them the win. I've got the Seattle Seahawks winning this one 21-7. Then the Sunday Night Football matchup is the Minnesota Vikings at the Dallas Cowboys. Right now, the Cowboys are a 6.5-point favorite. It's looking like CeeDee Lamb is good to go for this one. He suffered a concussion last week in last week's loss to the Detroit Lions, but it's looking like he's played he's practiced all week, so it's looking like he's definitely a go, which is what we need. I kind of feel like this is going to be a great bounce-back game for the Cowboys. They really need the win to remain in playoff contention. Not only for the wild card, but for the division as well, because the Eagles do not have a huge lead. As a matter of fact, the Cowboys are only a game and a half behind the Eagles right now. So Cowboys really need this win. Last week's loss, bad loss, it's going to happen. But I think this week they're going to bounce back. The Vikings are not a very good team. They don't have a lot going on. Yes, they had a good game last weekend, but I kind of feel like that was their one good game of the season, and that's going to be it. I feel like the Cowboys' defense is going to go off in this one. I feel like the Cowboys' offense for sure is going to go off in this one. And I won't be shocked if this is one of those Dak Prescott games where he throws for like 350 yards and 4 touchdowns. I wouldn't be shocked if that's what we end up with here. And I have the Cowboys winning big, 35-14. All right, so let's move on to the week of basketball. And we had the NBA Cup this week. So we know who's going to be in the semifinals on Saturday. But there were also some other basketball games sprinkled in throughout the week as well. So on Monday, we had a great game between the San Antonio Spurs and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Spurs got the win 135-132. You know, I was telling you about Harrison Barnes on when I was doing my NBA Top 10 power rankings this week. I was telling you, this guy has been holding it down, and he held it down in this game. He had 24 points. And really just overshadowed a great game by New Orleans Pelicans rookie Derek Queen. He had a triple-double with 33 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. Really the only bright spot for the Pelicans this season, because the Pelicans have been literally the worst team in the league, and it has just not been good at all for them in any way, shape, and form. But it's really nice for them to actually see a rookie show out like that, because it's been a struggle for them to really have anything to cheer for this season. Then the Phoenix Suns took down the Minnesota Timberwolves in a great game, 108-105. And Brooks, he just keeps it rolling. He only had 18 points, but I mean, he's really been, it's just been weird to watch the kind of season he's had, because he's been like a he's just been the reason why this Phoenix Suns team has been on a winning streak the last couple of weeks. And I mean, Anthony Edwards on the opposite side of the ball here for the Timberwolves had 40 points, but the Phoenix Suns were able to get the win in that one. Now, Phoenix, they're not having that great of a season, but they're not having that bad of a season right now. And that was a big win that they got over the Timberwolves on Monday night. Then on Tuesday, we had the Eastern Conference quarterfinals in the NBA Cup. The Orlando Magic took down the Miami Heat 117-108. Desmond Bane dropped 37 points. Suggs had 20 points, and Banchero had 18 points. It was a solid all-around team game from the Orlando Magic in this one. So they move on to the Eastern Conference semifinals in the NBA Cup on Saturday night. And then the New York Knicks took down the Toronto Raptors 117-101. This was all Raptors all night. All Knicks all night. Brunson dropped 35 points. Hart dropped 21 points. Karl Anthony Towns had 14 points and 16 rebounds. And Bridges had 15 points as well. It was all around great basketball from the Knicks all night from start to finish. And they move on to the Eastern Conference semifinals in the NBA Cup against the Orlando Magic on Saturday night. Then on Wednesday, we had the Western Conference side of things, and these were not close matchups. As a matter of fact, the Oklahoma City Thunder obliterated the Phoenix Suns, 138-89. It wasn't close at any point in time. SGA dropped 28 points. Chet Holmgren had 24 points and 8 rebounds. And they move on to the Western Conference semifinals of the NBA Cup. And the San Antonio Spurs, without Victor Wembanyama, dominated my Los Angeles Lakers, 132-119. Steven Castle, it was only his second game back from injury, and he dropped 30 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists. De'Aaron Fox also had 20 points. I mean, this was just it was all-around domination by the Spurs, for sure, in this one. They just completely obliterated the Lakers in this one. It was, like I said, pretty much all Spurs all night, and they move on to face the Oklahoma City Thunder Saturday night on the NBA Cup on the Western Conference semifinals portion of side of the bracket. And then on last night, we had a couple of solid matchups as well. These were just regular season games, not NBA Cup games. The Houston Rockets just squeezed by the Los Angeles Clippers, 115-113. Shane Goon continues his dominating season, 22 points, 15 rebounds in this one. Amen Thompson had 20 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists. And Kevin Durant dropped in another 16 points as well in this big win. And then the Denver Nuggets just smashed the Sacramento Queens. I always call them the Queens. It's just how I do. I hate that stupid team, and it's so hard to not call them the Queens. It just happens. It's just, sorry. It just happens. But they did dominate the Kings, 136-105. Nikola Jokic only had a double-double. He only had a double-double, but he had 36 points, 12 rebounds, and 8 assists in this one. As a matter of fact, in our short-lived NBA season, he leads the league in double-doubles and triple-doubles on the season. How shocking is that? And Peyton Watson was already talking about, I've been talking about him the last couple of weeks because he's been surging with these injuries that the Nuggets have suffered over the last couple of weeks. And Watson has been that dude, 21 points in this game in the big win for the Denver Nuggets. And they got to keep it moving because they got to try and keep pace with the Oklahoma City Thunder, who just cannot stop losing. All right, so now let's get to the idiot of the week. His name is Sharon Moore. Just got fired as the Michigan head coach, football coach. And, you know, when this news broke on Wednesday, you know, I've got the Bleacher Report app on my phone. And that's, you know, they send you breaking news alerts throughout the day. And the Texas Longhorns football team, that's who they're playing in their bowl game on December 31st is Michigan. And I see that the breaking news is Michigan fires their head coach. And I'm like, what? That's kind of weird. You know, they didn't have like an amazing season this year. They weren't that great last year either, but they weren't like worthy of firing this dude. So I just thought it was weird. And then also the timing of it was weird because usually when you fire your coach, you either fire him like right after the regular season or you wait until after the bowl game. And so it was just very odd timing. I'm like, what's going on here? Then a couple hours later, after that news breaks, it breaks that he has been arrested. And they don't say why he's been arrested. So my assumption was like, whoa, he was so pissed off that maybe he beat the shit out of the AD or whatever. Something, some crazy shit like that. No, no. The story takes an even crazier turn. I mean, this is one of those stories where you're like, whoa. I mean, it has literally nothing to do with football, but the story is just so insane. It involves one of the highest ranking, like, coaching positions in all of college football. I mean, to have the to be the coach of Michigan football is literally a top 10 job in college football. It's one of the best, most coveted jobs you can have. So the fact that this is going on with this dude is just nuts. So we've come to find out that he had been sleeping with a staffer on the football staff. And so that was why Michigan fired him. I'm like, oh, whoa, okay, well, that's for cause right there. Wow, what a dumbass motherfucker. Well, we find out this guy's an even more dumbass motherfucker than even presented. As a matter of fact, he's not only a dumbass motherfucker, he's a narcissistic scumbag motherfucker who is getting everything he deserves in the end here. This guy is an absolute piece of shit. And I don't care how any of you people write it, y'all can think it's, oh, just men being men. Nah, I don't ever give that. I don't ever give that type of excuse. If you fuck up your own life through your own actions, you get what you get. And I don't feel sorry for any of you. I don't care what your age is. I don't care what your race is. I don't care if you're a man. I don't care if you're a woman. I don't give a rat's fucking ass if I'm related to you or not related to you. If you do what this guy did, you get exactly what you deserve in the end. So yesterday, we find out why he got arrested. So asshole McFuck Sharon Moore here, apparently his mistress was about to blow the whistle on him, and he blamed her for his firing, even though he's the asshole cheating on his wife. Because this guy's married with two kids, by the way. So not only is he in a huge, great position of power, with a great motherfucking job, getting paid well, a black man in this position. Like, this is a high motherfucking honor for a black man. Real talk. Just if you're talking on a black man level, like, being the coach of Michigan is just excellent for black men, and now he has just shit all over black men. We ain't gonna see a black man as head coach at Michigan for a long ass time simply because of the dumb actions of Sharon dumb fucking Moore here. So his mistress is about to blow the whistle on him. So what does he do? He and his wife get in an argument because I'm sure wifey is good and pissed off that this asshole's been sticking it to his staffer for however long. And come to find out that, you know, he's apparently forced his mistress to have an abortion and all this kind of shit. That's what this kind of dude is. So then he drives on over after his nice little fight with his wife because he was probably blaming his wife for cheating because, you know, it's probably her fault for some reason that this guy's a dumb fucking idiot. So he drives over to the mistress's place and he starts threatening to kill himself and beating her up. And this is all, by the way, on a 911 call because the 911 call was released yesterday. And yeah, he busted into his mistress's house, was threatening to kill himself, was threatening to kill her, blah, blah, blah. He's apparently been stalking her for a while. And now he's behind bars and was arraigned today. And that is the story of Sharon Moore, the head coach at Michigan. He was the only head coach for 2 motherfucking years. This is even crazier than Bobby Petrino a few years ago when he was coaching, was it Arkansas? I know he's back at Arkansas. But was it Arkansas where he was coaching where he and his mistress were on a motorcycle and he got in a motorcycle accident and then he had to atone for everything the next day where he literally was in a motorcycle accident. He's got like cuts all over his face and shit. That shit was hilarious as fuck too. Not as crazy as this one though, because this motherfucker apparently wanted to go and kill himself, kill his mistress, kill everybody because this dumbass motherfucker got caught. And he wants to blame it on everybody else because he's a narcissistic scumbag piece of shit who couldn't keep it in his pants. And now he has become the laughingstock of America, at least for this week, because we all know there's going to be another idiot around the corner. But This week's idiot is Sharon Moore, who has literally not only fucked over his own life, he's fucked over this Michigan football team who's got a bowl game to prepare for. And don't act like it ain't going to affect them. I mean, I was doing the happy dance because I'm like, all right, this is just makes things easier for my Longhorns, bitch. And yes, I was thinking that and still am thinking that. So he fucked over his own life. He lost his job. He fucked over his football team. And now, like I said, don't expect to see a black man in a power or a position of power as the Michigan football coach anytime soon, because this guy fucked it up for future black men to receive this job. I will say it's actually been really nice to see a lot of men actually holding this guy accountable. I've seen a lot of athletes over the last couple of days actually say the exact same thing that I am, that this guy's a dumb motherfucking idiot who is getting exactly everything he deserves in the end. So it's actually really shocking and really nice to see it happen. But, you know, I know there's a ton of other retards out there who are like, so what? He's just a man being the man. You know, we all just can't keep our dick in our pants. And it's like, you all think that's like an excuse for you to do whatever you want. And sorry, you don't get to. Ha 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 ha. Sorry about you, Sharon Moore. Why don't you go kill yourself now? Because that's all you got. That's all you got. Oh, you're not going to do that, because we all know that was just a narcissistic cry for help because you got caught. With your pants down, you big, dumb fucking loser. What an idiot. Wow. And I real talk, I did not expect that to go that way. Like I said, when I saw he lost this job, I was like, whoa, this is some extremely shocking news. This team's not doing bad. Why did he lose his job? Ooh, wow. And then when I heard he gets arrested, I'm like, nah, did he beat somebody up? No, it went even further, deeper, and darker, and crazier, and whoa. That was a crazy story, and yeah, so there you go, Sharon Moore, dumbass of the week. So let's move on to some more college football. This week's list, we're going to do the top five college football playoff snubs. Because, you know, I went over the rankings on Wednesday's show, and I did agree. You know, I hate Notre Dame, but I do agree that they absolutely deserve to be in the college football playoff, because a couple of other teams that they let in did not deserve to be in there over Notre Dame, in my opinion, especially Alabama with the three losses, did not deserve to be in there. But that's just what has always happened with the college football playoff. Now, it hasn't always been called the college football playoff. It used to be the BCS Bowl and this, that, and the other. But for name's sake and just for continuity, I'm just calling this list the top five college football playoff snubs, even though it has to do with teams from BCS Bowls and stuff. And we're only sticking in this decade from 2000 to 2025, just because, you know, college football's like playoff and their bowl games and their system has changed so many times that it's just easier for me to just keep it down to that narrow of a time frame. So we're going to do that because there's actually been quite a few controversies over the years. As a matter of fact, that's why we are where we are right now. And that's why I laugh every year that they change something, because I'm like, next year, whoever is left out is going to be crying about it for some reason. So that's just what it always happens. So here are five times that it's happened in the past. There's actually way, way, way more times. There's like about 20 times I could probably reference, but we just whittled it down to five. So here are the top five college football playoff snubs, beginning with number five. Happened in 2001. Nebraska actually ended up getting voted into the playoff matchup, the final for the national championship. Nebraska went 11-2. They did not win the Big 12, though. Colorado actually won the Big 12 that year. They went 10-3 that year. Not only did they win the Big 12 championship over my Texas Longhorns, by the way, they kicked the crap out of Nebraska in the regular season, 62-36. So everybody's like, what? You're going to put them in the national championship game? And then they also left out Oregon as well, who also had a really solid season. They were 11-1 on the year, so they had a better record than Nebraska. And just, it was a really controversial thing. Oregon and Colorado actually ended up facing off against each other in a bowl game. Oregon stomped Colorado 38-16. But what happened to Nebraska in the national championship kind of proved that we probably should have put Oregon in there over Nebraska, because Nebraska got stomped by number one Miami 37-14 in that one. Then number four on my top five college football playoff snubs, 2008. Utah went 13-0. But because they were in a non-automatic qualifying conference, they put Alabama in. They put Florida in over them in the national championship. Even though Utah really just rolled over everybody. Hell, even in the they went to the Sugar Bowl that year and they rolled over Alabama 31-17. But Florida had one loss on the season and they just, you know, like I said, it was because they were non-automatic qualifiers. And, you know, back in that day, this was around that time where we had like Boise State where it's like, oh, should we let them in the national championship? Do we let Utah in there? And they used to, just because they weren't in automatic qualifying conferences, they would just leave them out and they would be undefeated and they'd get screwed over. So that's kind of one of the reasons why we ended up with the college football playoff with as many teams as we have, because a lot of these teams like Utah would get left out, and they got left out that year. Then number three on my top five college football playoff snubs in the 2023 season, Florida State went 13-0, but got left out of the national championship. This year they had the college football playoff, but it was only four teams. So not only did they get left out of the college football playoff and the national championship, but they got left out for literally the stupidest reason of all time. So they had a great Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback that year. He was blowing up everything, and then he got injured. Jordan Travis was injured, and towards the end of the season, I think it was either the last game of the season or second to last game of the season. Either way, it was towards the end of the season. And instead of putting Florida State in, they put Alabama and Texas in with one loss each. And they didn't put Florida State in. And they said the reason why they didn't put Florida State in is because of that Jordan Travis injury. They felt like this team wasn't going to be worthy of watch. They weren't going to be watchable, basically, is what they thought. Now, they were right, because Florida State did end up losing their bowl game to Georgia 63-3. But part of the reason why they lost so bad is because a lot of their starters actually didn't play in that game. Just because at this point in time in college football, you can choose whether or not you want to play in the bowl game, because some players choose not to because you don't want to get injured before you head off to the draft. But it was also kind of their middle finger to the rest of college football, like, how dare you not let us in? We're a 13-0 undefeated team. Just because we suffered an injury, you're not going to put us in there. And that's kind of what that was, is their middle finger. So Georgia was basically playing against a bunch of chump squad, which is why they absolutely mopped the floor with them. But I don't know. They might have had a reason to not put Florida State in there, but that was a really stupid reason to not put Florida State in there. Then number two on my top five college football playoff snubs, in the 2004 season, we had three undefeated teams heading into the national championship, and the rankings ended up leaving 13-0 Auburn out of it and putting undefeated USC and Oklahoma in the national championship. Auburn, that the thing about this season, I vividly remember this season. I personally felt like Auburn should have been in over Oklahoma, and that's just because I'm an Oklahoma hater, of course. But also, I felt Auburn just played better football, but, you know, that's just kind of how this went. Voters go the way they go. I mean, computer systems voted at this time. People, humans actually voted at this time as well, so you just never know what you were going to get. So USC and Oklahoma ended up facing off against each other. USC ended up mopping the floor with Oklahoma 55-19, and Auburn won their bowl game as well, only 16-13 though, so I still think USC would have won. But Auburn ended up with the final rankings at the end of the season. USC was number one, of course, and then Auburn ended up being number two with Oklahoma at number three. But I don't think the it would have made a difference. But it was very controversial because you had three undefeated teams, and it's like, who goes where, who ends up where. And once again, that's another reason why we ended up with the college football playoff system we have ended up with. But number one, I think, was probably the stupidest of all on the top five college football playoff snubs, and that was in 2003, when they had no idea what they were doing with the rankings. So they ranked Oklahoma number one. They ranked LSU number 2, and then they ranked USC number 3. So USC ended up playing Michigan, and they won their bowl game 28-14. In the national championship, LSU ends up beating Oklahoma 21-14. So then, with all the stupidity and all the rankings and the way they ranked things, USC, who did not win the national championship, ends up being ranked number 1. With LSU, the team that won the national championship, ended up being ranked number 2 in the end. So that season ended up being a technical split national champion between LSU and USC, which is quite ironic because the whole reason why they created the rankings the way they did is to prevent such a thing like this happening, where you have a team that's not in the national championship outperform a team that wins the national championship, and then the whole stupid way they vote and rank things actually puts USC at number 1 and LSU, the national championship team, winning team, at number 2. So that is why we are where we are. And I mean, all 5 of these snubs that I listed off are literally why we are where we are. But yet here we all are all still complaining about teams not getting in. And we still have the same issues with teams that are better than other teams not getting in. Or, you know, it's just, it's always convoluted. And every single year, it doesn't matter if they let everybody in, people are still going to be complaining next year. So we'll see who's complaining next year at the college football playoff time. But this year it's Notre Dame who's pissed off, and we'll see who it is next year. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.